This is Health Yeah, your weekly update on what's going on in the health, wellness, and medical world with Monica Robbins.
The devastating flash flooding in Texas captured the nation's attention with its tragic outcome and loss of life. What can we all learn from this disaster to protect ourselves and our families? Plus, would you be able to recognize the signs of someone struggling in the water if they were drowning? The answer may surprise you. And how much of a difference can the color of a swimsuit make to keep a child safe at the pool? This and much more straight ahead on Prescription for Life. Hello and welcome to Prescription for Life. I'm Monica Robbins. This episode is dedicated to water safety. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention puts drowning as the second leading cause of unintentional injury deaths for children ages 1 to 14, with 4,000 deadly unintentional drownings annually. But it is preventable. The CDC says key steps include learning to swim, using life jackets, building barriers around pools, and always supervising kids near water. Avoid alcohol and drugs before swimming. Know the risks of natural waters and learn CPR. But when you factor in natural disasters, such as the Texas flash floods, sometimes practical advice gets washed away. However, one of the most critical messages in flooding situations comes from the National Weather Service, and it's simple. Turn around, don't drown. Driving or walking into floodwaters is a major cause of fatalities. The water is often moving faster or deeper than it looks. Don't risk it. Try to find an alternate route. Here's what else you need to know about flash flooding from meteorologist Meredith Garofalo of WBNS.
Flash flooding is one of the leading causes of weather-related fatalities in the U.S. and can happen at any time of day, any time of year.
It's especially dangerous at night because you can't always see the floodwaters.
Flash flooding can happen in as little as a few minutes or after hours of continuous rain in the same location. While there's a number of reasons it can occur, there are two major contributing factors: the amount of rain that falls and how long it persists.
Flooding can occur sometimes when you have really high rates. So a really heavy rain coming in a short amount of time is one thing. And then sometimes you have a prolonged period of rainfall. We have several hours or several waves of rainfall moving over the same area that can also create flooding.
And another thing to keep in mind, some locations are more flood prone than others, which can include homes and businesses or some of your favorite places to camp and hike.
You want to make sure to look out if you're near a river, if you are going to be in a low-lying area, all those areas that are really flash flood prone, even urban areas. You don't have where water can really seep into the ground as easily, so you can get some runoff pretty easily in urban areas.
It's important to also know the difference between a watch and a warning.
A flash flood watch means that conditions are favorable for flash flooding. And so then you have your flash flood warning, where conditions are imminent. They're expected to happen or they're already occurring.
Remember, it can happen with little to no advance notice. And it's important to have a plan in place of what to do if the conditions are favorable for it to occur, such as threats of slower moving thunderstorms or continuously heavy rain.
Have a variety of sources to get weather information, because one might not always work. You know, if a communication method goes down, it's good to have backup communications to make sure that you can get the warning and get to safety.
410 TV, I'm meteorologist Meredith Garofalo.
According to the Centers for Disease Control, drowning deaths, especially among children, increase in summer months, with July being the peak month. It's the leading cause of death for children between the ages of 1 and 4, and a significant number of drownings occur in home swimming pools. Another major issue is children being drawn to pool water where you can't even see the bottom. Here's the story of a mother who never wants another to feel her pain.
Tiffany Knight fights back her tears as she tells me about her 8-year-old son, Christopher.
It's my baby.
Eventually, she stops fighting.
It's hard when I take my other kids to daycare. I have to clock them in and I see his name. And I can't press sign in because he's not there.
911, what's the city of your emergency?
Christopher's body was found at the bottom of a swimming pool at the Holiday Inn Strongsville, where the family was staying earlier this month.
A lady did try and check the pool completely.
Yes.
And according to a police call log obtained by 3 News, the pool was checked at least 3 times before Christopher's body was discovered, almost 9 hours after he was reported missing. The pool has been described to 3 News as, quote, murky and cloudy. A police investigation is ongoing.
This is a different type of hurt that I don't want nobody to feel ever.
Not only is murky pool water unsafe for visibility, the water can be full of algae, harmful microorganisms, and bacteria that can cause serious health issues, including skin, respiratory, ear, and gastric infections. And water like this can also host viral infections, such as norovirus and hepatitis A. Never swim in water this dirty, ever. Children age 5 through 14 are more likely to drown in natural bodies of water, such as lakes, ponds, and rivers. Learning to swim is a life-saving lesson. If you or your child don't know how to swim, take a lesson together. The basics of swimming can be vital in several situations, and we should all understand water safety and what to do in emergencies before we even get near the water. But some studies show children with autism are 160 times more likely to die from drowning because they're often drawn to water near their home. It's a tragic fact that needs awareness and action.
Retention ponds are a common sight in Jacksonville, with dangers often underestimated.
They're not bodies of water to swim in.
Tuesday night, a family experienced the loss of their 4-year-old boy with autism when he was found in a retention pond in the Bay Meadows area of Jacksonville. Paul DeMillo, president of the Just Against Children Drowning Organization, knows this pain all too well.
By far the worst day of my life.
Both of his twin sons drowned, and he has since dedicated his life to preventing tragedies.
There's no season for drowning.
Drowning is the number one cause of death among children with autism.
The drowning rate for those people that have autism is 160 times higher than the rate of their peers who are typically developing. So this particular population is very at risk.
A topic city council member Jacoby Pittman has been vocal about for years.
The issue and problem was that most of the drownings were happening on private property, which the city, you know, didn't have any oversight of that.
City council members have talked about funding for billboards and social media campaigns in the past. Pittman is calling on the public's help and says more needs to be done.
My request or solicitation to the community would be, you know, once we get this started again, we need funding. I would love to have $500,000 to $1 million.
Whether that's putting up signs and barriers, a monitoring device inside a home, or working with apartment complexes.
We want to be proactive and not reactive.
To prevent drownings, the National Drowning Prevention Alliance says there are 5 layers of protection: barriers and alarms, parent supervision, water competency, life jackets, emergency preparedness, tips that can all save a life.
We talked to him about holding a hand when you're crossing the street or in a parking lot, looking both ways before you cross the street. Don't touch a hot stove, but we don't talk about water safety at the earliest of ages when we're really forming those better, safer behaviors.
We can't reiterate it enough. Never let kids swim without sober, attentive, and competent adult supervision. And if the children are not strong swimmers, never let them near water without adequate flotation devices that are put on properly. These are life-saving points. Now, when we come back, it's not just kids that need to know and understand water safety. Every year, search and recovery teams are launched from the banks of rivers and lakes looking for those who disappeared in the water. What do they want you to know? And later, how sure are you that you could recognize when someone is struggling in the water? We'll show you what you need to see and hear that will make you think twice next time you're out for a swim. All across the country this year, search and rescue teams have already launched either saving or trying to find people who were unable to make it back to shore. It's an incredibly difficult job, but protecting yourself is in your power. Emily Kress from WNEP talks to those on the front lines.
More people are getting out on the water. Bruce Barton and his team with Pennsylvania Search and Rescue Recovery Team have thousands of hours of state and national training ready to respond if adventures go wrong.
Ultimately, everything we do, we don't want this boat to have to go out except if it's for training.
He says the season is already off to a busy start. On Sunday, Barton and his team were called to Sir Bradford Road in Tobyhanna Township to assist in the recovery of 40-year-old Bibb and Michael of New Jersey. Police say two people from his group were out on the lake when their kayaks flipped.
That person went in to try and help two people. The two people had a PFD. He didn't have a PFD or float with him, and he went in to try and help them.
During many of the calls involving a drowning death, people are not wearing a personal flotation device. He says safety tip number one is making sure your life jacket fits properly.
When we're strapping them, it's almost like a corset on the guys and the gals. You're pulling those things in real tight.
In Carbon County, eight people were rescued around 1 a.m. on the Lehigh River. Officials say the group was out rafting. Two people were taken to the hospital, but it's unclear why the group was out so late. Officials say all eight people were wearing life jackets.
Anytime you're going to go do any adventure, let people know where you're going. Okay, whether you're hiking or water activities, let people know what time you expect to be back and what to do if you're not back by then.
With the recent rain, bodies of water, including the Delaware River, are high right now.
Yeah, the water can be very deceiving. I mean, you look at the Delaware River on a day like today, and it's running fairly flat, you know. But there's a good current. The water is very high.
With plenty of spring and summer left, search and rescue teams hope people prepare themselves before taking on area waterways.
Emily Kress, Fox 43 News.
This next story is a blast from the past, but the message is timeless. Would you be able to tell if someone was actually drowning? Jennifer Lindgren from WKYC shows us what we actually don't know.
In a pool full of swimmers, could you spot the one in distress?
All of a sudden, they just start floating down.
I'm sure they would be panicking, gasping for air, flailing their arms.
Help!
Contrary to Hollywood, real drownings are much harder to spot. Take a look at this actual near drowning caught on camera at a beach in New York.
They go into a mode where they're going in survival. They're trying to breathe. They don't call out for help.
The only person who recognizes this child in trouble, the lifeguard.
The movie typically shows the person yelling out, screaming for help. That's not what happens in real life.
Kevin Krieger knows the real-life signs. As aquatics director for Hastings Waterworks, he helps train about 450 Northeast Ohio lifeguards every summer.
We teach the lifeguards to not just look at the top of the water, but to really look at the middle water and the bottom of the pool.
With the help of our strong swimmer, 11-year-old Will, Krieger explains what to look for.
It's called distress. They can move, they can make progress, but they're obviously struggling. It's very silent, and there's no noise coming out, and you can tell how quickly somebody can struggle and go underwater.
Drowning is the second cause of accidental death in children under age 15.
How much time does it take a struggling swimmer to become unconscious? Less than the time it takes to watch this news story.
Krieger says it's imperative that parents watch the water, too.
In the hot summer day, you know, this pool can have 300 to 400 people in it, and you can't spot every single person that could be struggling.
In Sagamore Hills, Jennifer Lindgren, Channel 3 News.
Still ahead, we know learning how to swim using flotation devices and common sense around unfamiliar water are all great rules to live by. But can the color of your swimsuit really make a difference? The answer when we come back. So many options when it comes to swimsuit colors, but should you really consider that color as a safety issue? We wanted it verified.
We wanted to know, are brighter colored swimsuits easier to spot
if your kid goes underwater. So let's verify.
Our sources are a watercolor study from Alive Solutions and Ali LaRiche with Charlotte Aquatics. According to Alive Solutions, bright and contrasting colors are easier to see underwater. This is important because if your kid goes underwater for a long period of time, you'll want to easily spot them. The Alive Solutions color test shows some examples. In this series of photos, fabric colors such as bright reds, pinks, blues, and greens show up better when compared to fabrics such as light blue, light gray, black, and white. As you can see, the colors white and light blue basically disappear when underwater. LaRiche says drownings are so prevalent in young kids under the age of 4 and confirms kids should be wearing bright colored swimsuits.
Neon colors are much better. They're easier to spot in the water.
LaRiche says while picking out the perfect swimsuit color is important for parents, it's also a secondary measure in preventing accidents in pools.
If you're not actually watching the water, if you're not actually watching your kids, it's really not going to do very good.
LaRiche suggests putting your kids in swim lessons at an early age to help get them used to being around the water.
So swim lessons are always going to be your number one way to keep your kids safe around the water, a best way to prevent drowning. Formal swim lessons actually reduce the risk of drowning by 88%.
So we can verify that, yes, brighter colored swimsuits are easier to spot if your kid goes underwater. With your Verify, I'm Megan Bragg.
That'll do it for this edition of Prescription for Life. Thank you so much for watching. We'll be back with another dose soon. Until then, I'm Monica Robbins, wishing you and yours good health.
Thank you so much for tuning into Health Yeah. Please find me on Twitter and Instagram at Monica Robbins. Like and follow my Facebook page, Monica Robbins WKYC. Find video podcasts at Monica Robbins' channel on YouTube. And please subscribe. Wishing you great health and hope to see you again soon.
Thanks for listening to Health Yeah with Monica Robbins from WKYC Studios. Subscribe now so you never miss an update. And find more on everything you heard here on WKYC.com and on the WKYC app.